The military and the intelligence barriers fell as a result of 9/11. Two of the most sensitive barriers fell. How in the world would you get a global army together? 9/11 did it, didn't it? How in the world would you get the KGB, MI6, and the CIA to cooperate unless it was something like 9/11? The effects to destroy value and transfer wealth to the power who are controlling the world, the people who are controlling the world. There are no barriers. This is the bottom line. We are independent. We are one. When you hear Clinton and Bush and everybody else, all those running, Obama, talk about interdependency, we're there. When you hear the word globalization, we're there. I was at a press briefing with Jon Snow in 2001. He said this. I wrote a whole entire newsletter on this one. We recognize that we are so interdependent that growth in Asia is important to us. And our growth is important to Japan, and Japan's growth is so important to the Euro nations and so on. So that we are all interconnected in ways that one nation's growth feeds and assists in other parts of the globe. Hello? If that wasn't a wake up for me, it was. What is globalization? No barriers between the nation states. That creates risk worldwide without protection and the need to change national laws to conform to a world governmental structure. It's required change. And what was released in March was the Treasury blueprint to change regulatory laws governing stocks and bonds, mortgages, banking, insurance companies, and for the Fed to oversee Wall Street. Create crises. We are in a lulu. So, in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act. In 1930, the Bank for International Settlements was set up. We'll talk about that. 1971, we'll briefly mention about Nixon taking our currency off of the gold standard. The 1980 Monetary Deregulation Act. 1999 is key. I wrote a large chapter in UN Global Straitjacket. I wrote a major economic newsletter on the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act because it opened the doors for today. And then the Treasury Blueprint, the Bank for International Settlements. The apex, and this is what Carol Quigley said, tragedy and hope, the apex of financial capitalism was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private bank owned and controlled by the world's central bankers, which were themselves private corporations. God in his mercy has allowed me in the 14 years that I've covered international meetings to go to the Bank for International Settlements about 7 or 8 times. They know my name. They know who I am. I've done major interviews with the economists and the managing director of the Bank for International Settlements, and this is where it all happens. What does the bank look like, the BIS? Almost every country, there are a few Muslim countries that do not have a central bank, but all of the countries of the world that have a central bank, and I couldn't put all the arrows up there, all the central banks meet at the Bank for International Settlements. So the Bank for International Settlements is at the top of all of the country's central banks. And that's where they do all their thinking for what they're going to do next. The second thing that you have to do is tear down or destroy the monetary system. President Nixon did that when he took the dollar off the gold standard. So the dollar now floats against major currencies, the Deutsche Mark and the yen. Since 1971, our dollar has lost 66% to 70% against these two currencies. And this is just what you see. The world's being moved into trading blocks. The free trade areas of the Americas and our hemisphere, the European Union here, the Middle East, that's in the process of coming into fruition, the South Africa trading sphere, and the last will be the yen with Japan and Australia, Malaysia, and China. Third, you have to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act, H.R. 10. And as I said before, it started the credit crises that we now know. The Glass-Steagall Act was set in place in order to understand the magnitude in 1933 to separate what lawmakers said back then was the reason for the Great Crash. So they separated the functions of banking from the stock market. They put firewalls in place between commercial banking and investment banks. And this was all to protect you and me. When they passed the law to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act, it was called the Graham-Leach-Bilyley Act, after those eminent congresspeople, it ended up basically tearing down all the firewalls, putting us at risk, and then putting us in basically pre-1929 times. It also deregulated the securities industry, helping to create the current banking crises. So, if I'm moving a little fast, it's because we have a lot of material. So we're just going to take a breath right now because I need a cough drop. The 1980 Monetary Deregulation Act. I remember thinking this was a great thing because what happened? My money market fund earned 18 to 20%. I thought, man, that's great. No, that was the apple. Okay? It opened our borders for investing and it eliminated the interest ceiling that banks had to pay. That's why today banks can charge up to 35% interest on the credit card, high rates on mortgages, and then pay you 0.5% to 1% on your savings. What it really did, for the first time since America was founded in 1776, almost 200 years later, Americans were able to invest overseas and foreigners were able to invest in America. If a lot of your international bankers are in England and Germany and France, you really need to have this if you're going to come in and rape, rob, and pillage. The mortgages. They set up a system for mortgages called securitization. So you go to your local bank or wherever it is now to get a mortgage. The bank makes the mortgage to you, but if they don't want to hold your mortgage for 30 years, they sell your mortgage either in the bond market or to organizations like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that paper was considered sterling, you know, five-star type paper. You would always have it. You wouldn't lose your money. You'd always get paid a little bit higher interest because of the compounding, and you'd get a little bit of principal back from the mortgages. It's fabulous. Sold to mutual funds, foreign governments, pension plans, profit-sharing plans, sovereign wealth, and a lot of retirees. When it was moved into the conservatorship, no interest, and who knows if you will see your principal. This is what is happening in the housing market. And that brings us to the Treasury blueprint for modernizing our financial regulatory structure, authored by Hank Paulson himself and Robert Steele, two of the sheriffs of Wall Street. There we go. What does it do? Basically, it will move to the power and the authority of the Federal Reserve all the pieces or the final pieces of any remaining financial sovereignty that America has. And it will do that, number one, by changing the federal banking charter. It will move for the first time, because every single one of these entities have a different banking charter, it will homogenize all of the different banking charters, whether it's a commercial bank, a bank holding company, a savings and loan, thrifts, and credit unions. They will now fall under the Federal Reserve, the Federal Banking Charter. And guess what? The Federal Reserve oversees all banking activities in America. The mortgage industry. It will create an oversight system for the entire mortgage industry because 50% of the subprime loans, they say, were made without federal supervision, and that's why we're in the mess we're in. And it will create a mortgage origination commission. The Federal Reserve will sit on it. The insurance industry. For 135 years, every state has overseen every type of insurance activity. They will federalize the entire insurance industry, move it to the federal government, and they will create, I'm sure you can understand, an insurance commission, and the Federal Reserve will be given oversight on the insurance commission. They will also